Our congregation just concluded Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 to 35 for our responsive reading. So if you have a Bible, follow along in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 21 through the end to verse 35 for some selected comments and notes. Notice right off the bat in verse 21, the words, "My son." My son. Once again, Solomon is talking to his son, in all likelihood, Rehoboam, who would eventually succeed him as the next king of Israel. And so King Solomon, like any normal king, who knows that he has a son that's going to soon become a king upon his death, wants to prepare his boy for the throne. And in this case here, Solomon is trying to give sound biblical advice to his son so that when he takes the throne, he would be able to rule justly, right, kindly, but firmly, especially towards those who would break the laws of the realm. And so he starts off, "My son." That's a term of endearment. So there's a love relationship here. There's a bond between father and son, son with father. And so it starts off, "My son. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Well, what is he telling Solomon to keep? What is so precious? What is of great value that Solomon is urging with all the urgency, what is to be kept? What is to be guarded? What is to be treasured and held close to his son's bosom? Well, so far we've gone through now the first three chapters of the book of Proverbs, and Solomon here is beating the drum on biblical wisdom, biblical understanding, the wisdom and the understanding that one will acquire as they give themselves to God's word. And with that wisdom and with that knowledge, an individual will be able to govern his or her life in such a way that it will be pleasing to his heavenly Father, and at the same time allow him or her to walk in such a pathway of security and peace and comfort under the rule of God. "So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Again, Solomon here is not referring to general education like 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4. He's not referring to that type of wisdom, even though that wisdom is just as relevant and true. But here the wisdom that Solomon is instilling into his boy is the wisdom that can only be acquired, not in the classroom, but in God's book. "Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely," notice, "and thy foot shall not stumble." Now, every real child of God, if they are truly a child of God, any individual who's truly saved, is going to have a desire to live a life that pleases the one who saved him. Okay? And here Solomon is telling his son, if you take the scriptures and you bind them to your heart and your mind, and you make the scriptures part of one's life, okay, it will cause one to walk in a path that is safe and a path that will not lead to stumbling and falling into the pitfalls of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then notice, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Well, you got to admit that the person who's constantly on the run from the law doesn't sleep sweetly. Somebody who knows that the authorities are after them and their picture hangs quite prominently in the local post office is not going to be out there in the full blaze of sun showing himself to the world. He's going to be in constant hiding. He's going to go from one hole to the other hole, concealing himself from being caught. you don't sleep sweetly with that lifestyle. And then there's always the threat of another gang member or another gang coming after you besides the law of the land. So there's no true rest for a criminal. They're always looking over their shoulder. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, verse 26, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So verses 21 to 26, number one, shows Solomon refreshing his son's memory to guard and treasure and to keep very close the wisdom and the understanding that one can acquire from Scripture. And then he shows his boy the benefits of doing such. Okay? So basically, verses 22 to 26 are the pluses, are the benefits that will come to one, generally speaking, who takes the Word of God in hand and then binds it to his heart. Withhold not good for them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Hold your place here and go all the way to the New Testament book of James, and let me show you James's reflection on these same words. Ready? James chapter 2. And you tell me whether or not James is either borrowing from these words or he's amplifying these words and making it into a commentary. Okay, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Now get this. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Now notice the words. Depart in peace, be warm, be filled. And then you look at the proverb. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, come again, and tomorrow I will give. When you have the need in your hand and you refuse to relinquish it to the one who needs it. And so I think Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 28, alongside James chapter 2, I believe is a beautiful cross-reference. They basically say the same thing back and forth. You find it in the Old Testament, and then you find it here in James. Then you find something else that's found in the Beatitude. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. And the key phrase here is, without cause. Jesus says of himself in the New Testament, they hated me without a cause. David uses the same language. They hate me without a cause. And then Jesus tells us in the Beatitude, you know, about being angry with your brother. Okay. But there has to be a cause. If there's no cause involved, then to be angry with your brother for no cause whatsoever is a sin. And yet Jesus on several occasions demonstrated his anger, righteous indignation, did he not? And yet modern translations will take that phrase, without a cause, and remove it, and thus making Jesus a sinner because he got angry, according to that Bible version, when he had no cause to be angry. And then finally, verses 31 all the way to 35, Solomon admonishes his boy, don't become envious or jealous of the criminal. Okay? Envy thou not the oppressor, choose none of his ways. For the froward, meaning one who lies, you know, deceit, they live in a realm of white lies and black lies. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Now notice verse 32. Look at that carefully. You find a lot of people who claim that they read the Bible and they get nothing out of it. Well, if they're living a sinful life and they're not truly a child of God, don't expect God to reveal anything, if not at all, to such a person. But to whom does God reveal his secrets? The righteous. Not the froward, but to the righteous. Isn't that interesting? And then verses 33 to 35. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So verse 32 says, God opens up the eyes of his righteous. Okay. Verse 33 tells us that God blesses the habitation of the just as opposed to cursing the house of the wicked. Surely he scorneth the scorners. We're always told that God hates the sin, but not the sinner. Here the Bible says God scorneth the scorners, not their scornings, but the scorner themselves. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. So notice the contrast in verses 31 to 35. We find a contrast here between what God gives to his own and what God gives to those who are not his own. And then finally, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And so I think that should be a motivator for any father to give to his children, okay, as Solomon is instructing his son in this instance. Christian parents are to instruct their children. And in verses 30 to 35 for the Christian parent, he ought to give these things to his children to have them weigh in their own mind the pro and the con of following the Lord. There seems to be a whole lot on the positive side of the equation. And following him, pleasing him, loving him, and obeying him. But there seems to be a whole lot in the negative side for those who choose to be the scorner, froward, wicked, and unjust. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.